the life story of the foremost man of our time, Winston Churchill. The king is dead. A new king has abdicated. And now George the Sixth begins his reign. Europe, quiet, grim, is as yet blind to the march of events which soon will shake the world. In London, Mr. Baldwin is about to retire, and Brendan Bracken, a member of Parliament, discusses the new Prime Minister with his friend Winston Churchill.
So Baldwin's going to retire at last. It begins to look as though you might get your chance, Winston.
Not a bit of it. Neville Chamberlain doesn't like me any better than Baldwin did.
There was never any quarrel between you and Baldwin, was there?
No. But after my opposition to the Indian reform scheme, I found myself outside the fold. I wasn't a good party man, and I might have proved a dangerous rival. So Baldwin very gently blocked me. There was no row. It was done in the most approved manner.
And Chamberlain?
Oh, he's always done what Baldwin told him. I suppose he'll continue Baldwin's policy. No, Brendan, I'll never be a member of a cabinet presided over by Neville Chamberlain. Oh, unless a war comes, perhaps. He could hardly get out of it then.
That war doesn't seem so far off these days.
Yes, this business in Spain is a full-dress rehearsal of it. I don't want to take sides in the ghastly affair, and I certainly wouldn't support the Reds. But if Franco wins, it'll be a triumph not for him, but for Germany and Italy.
Do you think Chamberlain might take a firmer stand on the Mediterranean piracy than Baldwin?
I doubt it. Neville's very anxious to make friends with Italy. He won't do or say anything that might offend Mussolini.
But Eden might.
Yes, I must say that Eden's going along the right lines. But they won't let him get too far. He'll have to toe the line with the rest.
I believe he'd resign, sir.
Well, they'd soon find somebody to take his place. Halifax is quite ready to step into his shoes even now.
Oh, it's shameful that you haven't been asked. I really believe that popular feeling will put you into the cabinet sooner than you think.
Well, I don't know that I want to be in the cabinet. Not in this particular cabinet, anyway.
But you'd accept a portfolio if it was offered, wouldn't you?
Not unless it was the right portfolio. I'm getting old now, Brendan. The time is past when I'd accept anything. Well, still, I probably won't get the chance, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, I have to write something about Baldwin's retirement. What shall I say?
Say that he leaves behind him a record of great personal charm and great political failure. And let our shortage of airplanes be his monument.
Hello, Dad. I'm back.
Welcome home, son. You're looking fine.
Oh, feeling fine, too. How's Mother?
Well, apart from the fact that she plays too much golf to spare me as much time as she once did, she's all right.
She certainly upholds the honor of the family on the link.
She certainly does.
And Diana, I haven't seen the sister for ages.
As lovely as ever. How is Spain?
Shocking. When I started off on my bicycle tour, I didn't realize all that I was going to see. The shocking devastation, poverty, starvation, ruin. Oh, it depressed me, Peter.
The thought of the entire world depresses you these days.
And then I got mixed up with the authorities. Oh, but I'll tell you a dozen yarns another time. But what I know you'll be interested in is this. It's about Gibraltar. Very carefully, you know, almost like a Phillips Oppenheim character, I wandered round the Spanish territory, keeping both eyes open, both ears receptive, and mouth firmly shut. Well, our friend General Franco and his totalitarian allies are erecting howitzers on concrete platforms.
Indeed. That sounds very interesting.
Those howitzers are fairly numerous, and they're certainly heavy. Perhaps they've been put into position as an ornament. On the other hand, it looked to me as though they menaced Gibraltar.
Sure of your facts, Randall?
Oh, positive. I made particular note.
I think this calls for a few words in the ear of the Prime Minister. If he doesn't listen, I'll speak in the House. It's about time we started to wake up to the menace to the Rock. Good heavens. If Gibraltar were menaced, where would our lifeline of empire be? You've done well, Randolph, my boy. But no more trouble with the authorities of other countries in future, eh?
Judge, Dad, I haven't had an atom of the excitement you had at my age. Cuba and the Sudan.
Marvelous. It was war, and yet war between men. Not war against cities and women and children. Why have the days of adventure vanished forever? Where is the lusty desire
to live cleanly, honestly, avidly. What's happened to the young men of Europe?
Well, there are plenty of young men of England who want to live honestly and who aren't afraid of a good clean fight if they've got to fight.
I know. I'm proud of the young men of England. And I'm not unproud of you, son. Go on now, go on. Let me get my talk sorted out. I'm going into action against slowness, stupidity, kindness, and defeat. I would like to draw the attention of honorable members to the position at Gibraltar. I have been informed on most reliable authority of certain gun mountings which General Franco has had erected. I first heard of these guns from my son, who saw heavy howitzers being mounted on massive concrete platforms. It is absurd to suppose that General Franco can have provided them from his meager resources. Were they the price he has had to pay for help received from this or that power? On behalf of the government, I would like to tell honorable members the actual position concerning the suggestion that guns dominate Gibraltar. I may tell the House that the government has naturally taken notice of all weapons installed in the neighborhood. I can say that the guns commanding the fortress are inferior to those that can be trained upon them, and therefore they constitute no present menace.
Have you heard the news? Ramsay MacDonald is dead.
Oh, how sad.
Died on board the Reina del Pacifico. Another of those great figures of the past, gone on his way for the last time. He worked himself out, a sick man, a tragic figure. Can you ever forget the scene in the Commons in 1914? He was so very wrong, and yet so sincere. It's a ghost of the past, a blind but happy past. He followed Sir Edward Grey.
I should, as circumstances permitted, have preferred to remain silent this afternoon. But circumstances do not permit. The right honorable gentleman, to a host which is in great majority with him, has delivered a speech, the echoes of which will go down to history. The speech has been impressive. However much we may resist the conclusion to which he has come, we have not been able to resist the moving character of his appeal. I think he is wrong. I think the government which he represents and for which he speaks is wrong. I think the verdict of history will be that they are wrong.
And they beat him, forced him to sit down. Well, what will be the verdict of history? The war to end all wars. How ironic it sounds today. And now, Ramsay dead. Poor Ramsay. The greatest tragedy of his life is one that I've been spared, thank God. She who might have done so much to soften the blows of fate was taken from him. 1911, I think. Yes, 1911. I've been fortunate. You have been with me always, my dear, to soften the blows which fate has dealt me.
Through all our adversity, life has been kind to both of us. May we go on being two lucky people.
Amen.
heard many expressions of regret at Italy's withdrawal from the League. It has been described as a great blow. But I think we will get over that. In fact, I do not see why the League should be weakened by the departure of a country which has, to put it as politely as I can, broken every engagement into which it has entered, and whose spokesmen have rejoiced in mocking and insulting every principle upon which the League was founded. The one small service Signor Mussolini ever rendered the League was to leave it. And for that, we thank him humbly.
With ironic and tragic similarity, the world is on the drift to war again. The lesson of the past has not yet been learned. And it is Winston Churchill's task to warn the people of Britain where unpreparedness will lead a nation and the world.